I'm speaking today with Sean Haverly, who is running for the Democratic nomination for County Commissioner in Precinct 4. Sean, why are you running for this office?
I've always wanted to serve the community. My life has been in somewhat public service because I've worked in nonprofit. And so recently, I guess it was in December, when I was asked to consider running for the position, I knew it was a good fit because I've always wanted to serve my area, which I'm in a utility district. I'm in a MUD, so you've really got, I'm not in Houston and I'm not in Jersey Village, so this gives me the chance to really represent those parts of the county that really don't get the representation they usually deserve. And then, of course, I'm really running. I especially wanted to run because of my opponent, Dave Wilson, who, of course, is a GOP activist, and wanting to damage our credibility on the November ticket really doesn't work.
Okay. So tell me a little about your background. What do you do? What's your experience in government, if any?
Well, I went to Louisiana State University. I went on a vocal performance scholarship, but I also double majored in political science because I knew politics was in my blood. I was also highly encouraged by my mother because she felt that being an opera singer wasn't going to make me a lot of money in the future.
I guess it depends on the opera you want to pick up with, right?
So, well, being a bass, I was either going to be in the chorus or the villain the rest of my life, so I didn't really want that. So, from college, I actually got into nonprofit fundraising. And so rather than go to law school, I had an opportunity to work with some agencies and help in their development department. And I really felt that there was a need for strong people who could fundraise for good causes. So I started in Baton Rouge. As soon as I graduated from LSU, I came to Houston. I grew up in Dallas, so I wound up back in Texas, and Houston was really a place that I had spent a lot of my childhood visiting family members here. Houston is wonderfully supportive of the arts. I think it's the city itself is so diverse. It was really where I wanted to spend the rest of my life. So I moved here, and I've been in nonprofit ever since. I have worked in some large institutions and some smaller institutions as a development officer. And then this past year, I decided to start my own consulting firm to focus on small and medium-sized nonprofits who sometimes can't afford to pay someone who's a professional fundraiser. And so I can come in and help them do the work for them.
All right. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, your view of Commissioner's Court and what your priorities would be if you would be elected.
Now, Commissioner's Court, obviously, you know, people are constantly asking me what they do because it's kind of like this gray shaded area that people hear about them, but they don't know that, you know, and I understand that, you know, their main focus, of course, are the roads and bridges and parks and the precincts. Of course, I think right now, what hits me the hardest is in my area, which is off of 290, you know, with the county partnering with TxDOT and other agencies to do things like the I-10 expansion or the 290 expansion, it really affects the citizens and residents and business owners in those areas. And one thing that really hit me the hardest was in January, two friends of mine who own a business, 290 the Beltway, they were given a letter that said they had to vacate by July 1st. You know, the county needs to do a better job of stewarding its citizens so that they get, you know, to think that you're being told you have less than 6 months to find a new place for your business. And these guys are wine vendors. So for them to actually find a location, it takes about a year process with TABC. So they're basically, you know, out of luck for 6 months of their business because the county didn't take its time to steward its citizens better to say, look, you're in a construction zone. We've known this 290 expansion has been going on for years. You know, we should have been working with our business owners. And it's that kind of communication, I think, that commissioners need to oversee. I want to increase the amount of communication that happens between businesses and organizations precinct-wide. And it's a large precinct. I mean, Precinct 4 is the largest one. It's pretty expansive in how it's laid out. And they've got everywhere from Kingwood to River Oaks to Jersey Village. So I do think that being able to have the businesses and organizations communicate better with the representative commissioner helps a great deal. Obviously, with being the largest precinct out of the four, there's a lot of room for improvement in there's improvement for the parks. You can enhance the senior and youth programs. And like I said, the communication itself. So those are the focus issues. I do think the biggest thing that I feel about Commissioner's Court is that these are positions that these people get in for a long time. I think, you know, the shortest tenured is the commissioner who unfortunately unseated Commissioner Garcia. But when you look at how long these people stay, I think sometimes they become out of touch with their constituents. I do think that, I also think that when you're looking at one Democrat out of five, we, you know, El Franco Lee needs a little bit of help.
Okay. You know, the county, like every other entity, every other government entity, has been dealing with budget shortfalls, budget issues for the past couple of years. They've largely responded by doing things like hiring freezes and cutting, you know, making cuts here and there. What's your opinion of the way that the county has approached their budget issues, and what, if anything, would you do differently?
You know, I didn't answer earlier my work in politics. You know, I'm a past president of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus. I've worked a lot with city and county employees and elected officials. And over the past couple of years, I have a strong tie to a lot of people that work in city government and as well as county. But it's funny to hear the stories that I get on both sides. And the budget's something that is another issue for me, since considering the fact that the commissioners oversee the entire county budget. I don't think at times that they're not as strong in the oversight as they could be. You know, when it's funny to hear a city employee who's gone to the same conference with a county employee, and the joke is the city employee has to say, you know, we go and on our budget we pull out our sandwich and we get our water for lunch, while the county employee has the steak and lobster because of their, you know, spending limits that they have when they travel or that they get approved. If you look at the county agenda and you see some of the costs that are getting approved, it is pretty amazing how we think where these cuts are coming from. So I do think there's a lot of financial oversight that can go into this. I do think they've done an adequate job for what they've been given. You know, their credit rating is still stellar, but I do think when it comes down to the overall expenditures and looking into it, there's room for improvement. And it is pretty amazing how going into this position, I mean, you got to look at how this seat came open. You know, when you're looking at how, you know, Eversole was accused of, you know, bribery, and it's that kind of thing. When you're talking about slashing a budget, yet you're awarding contracts at a higher rate than what you should be giving, there has to be a better financial oversight.
Okay. We'll get into the ethics issues in a minute. One of the things that I know is that a couple of years ago, before the bottom fell out in the economy, the Commissioner's Court approved a modest tax cut on property tax rate, which they've left in place.
Right.
That has not been something they have considered as a means of dealing with their budget issues. Is that something you agree with or disagree with?
You know, I think being, you know, in my position, small business owner, homeowner, I agree with it. I mean, right now, I think everyone, it's hardest hit on the citizens when, you know, you have to look at those kind of increases. And I think right now with the housing market how it is, I mean, I think leaving that where it is a okay. good thing.
Let's talk ethics, since County Judge Ed Emmett has made that kind of the centerpiece of his State of the County address. Commissioner's Court passed, you know, what has been referred to as a watered down form of ethics reform a couple of years ago. Obviously. You know, county being different than city, there's only so much they can do without legislative approval.
Right.
What do you want to see done to improve ethics and, you know, I mean, financial oversight is a part of that. What do you want to see done to make ethics, you know, more robust in Harris County government?
You know, I think the question being where people don't understand what commissioners do is one issue. I think the whole point of Commissioner's Court, there has to be a lot of more added transparency to it. You can't have the county judge doing a state of the county address, and that's the only time you hear about ethics. people like you and me can remember the ethics reform passed, that when you looked at it, a lot of this really couldn't even be done without, you know, actual legislation being passed. So if you look at the structure that they originally did it, it was great on the, you know, if you looked at it, but when you examined it and realized that a lot of this really doesn't actually work on the county level without, like you just said, there's not that much they can do. But I do think you can include, there's various ways that you can do it. You know, I think each of the commissioners can have their own special task force that includes citizens that kind of have their own extra oversight for them. You know, when it's all internal and you leave everybody out and you lose the transparency, you're bound to have ethics breaches. And so I think the whole point of making it more transparent to the community, having the community involved, and not just waiting to talk about it once a year helps.
It seems like whenever there's a discussion of a county commissioner's race and a county commissioner's election, first thing people talk about is the amount of money that incumbent commissioners tend to have in their campaign treasuries. You know, commissioners often don't have competition for elections, partly because they can raise a bunch of money. You know, is that something that needs to be addressed?
You know, I think overall there's a sense that you get to a point where, I've had this question asked a lot.
I guess I should interrupt. I'm sorry. I should interrupt to say that, you know, oftentimes a lot of the donations come from people that the county is doing business with.
Exactly.
So let's throw that in there as well.
As far as some kind of reform in this area, you know, again, do I think it should happen? Yes, because it makes it difficult for the general citizen to think they can make a difference and actually show up and run. Do I think it's right for people to be, for the potential vendors that, you know, and I've had people ask me this, you know, and it's amazing sometimes it can be so blatant. You know, that would be a good thing for me to support you because you'll be making the decisions. So it does cross that line of where actually do you accept that. And so I don't think there's going to be any answer that can happen overnight with that. I mean, obviously the system's been going on for a long time, and you're right, the commissioners can raise a lot of money because of the power they hold. So it does make it hard for someone to run against an incumbent. But, I'm just here to see how we can, to be the one to try to get in and hopefully make a change.
One of the biggest cost items for the county is the jail, which both County Judge Emmett and Sheriff Garcia refer to as the largest mental health facility in the state of Texas. There's been a lot of things that have gone on in the last couple of years to reform how the jail operates. You know, they've managed to reduce the number of inmates. They're trying to divert a number of people to treatment instead of incarceration.
Right.
You know, what else would you like? What's your opinion of what has been done, and what do you want to see done going forward to, you know, better manage the county jail?
I think looking at the numbers that we have right now, that the county's actually been doing a better job. I mean, you have seen progression, and you know we're no longer having to ship off inmates to other places like Louisiana as much as we have, and spending the millions of dollars to give to, you know, other governmental entities. So I do think it's improved. The potential partnership between the city and county is a good option.
You're talking about the crime lab, or are you talking about something else?
I'm talking about in criminal justice.
Okay.
Across the board. But obviously, I think the system is improving. My answer to it is to ensure that we are making sure that the inmates who really need mental health services are getting them, and we're not overcrowding them with the. Interesting fact is the trial that I was supposed to be on, that I was the alternate. I kept thinking the whole time that I'm watching this defendant in the beginning, thinking, is this guy really going to take up, we're going to spend all this money putting this guy for a crime that I wouldn't think is going to put someone for 10 years in jail, and we're spending all this money on. And it did start me thinking of the process of, this is exactly where we get, because the system gets bombarded with inmates and the level of the crime. So, you know, I think for me, the answer is continuing what they've been doing. And
okay. Since you talked about city-county relationship, that's obviously been some, you know, some bumps in the road, you know, along the way and going back a ways. You know, what's your assessment of the relationship between Harris County and the City of Houston as government entities, and, you know, where can it be improved?
From my outside view, not being an insider, I think it's it seems to improve in areas, but I don't have the answer to where to make it better. I'm not, since I'm not on the inside as much, like I said, having the friends, and I get the hearsay of here and there, and the departments that scuffle and the ones that get along. So I don't have the answer of where within it can be improved, but I'm knowing that the people that I do there, I do know there is some room for improvement.
Okay, let's talk about roads in particular. Since you live off of 290, there is a project going on to rebuild the 290 corridor. I think right now all it's funded is to build a bypass from 290 direct to I-10.
Right.
But the county's grand vision, you know, goes all the way out to the Waller County line.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who think that's excessive. That it's spending a lot of money on parts on roads that don't get a whole lot of traffic. There's also toll road and possibly commuter rail aspects to this. You know, give me your view of what you want to see done with 290.
I think as much as we can do and as far as we can do it, I don't feel it's excessive, because when you look at the numbers of where the residents are living, it used to be, if you looked at years ago, it was, you know, the main set, you had the within the 610 and then the loop. You know, we're expanding out. Our citizens are obviously moving further out, and we need to make sure that they have the access possible, because all that does is it helps the county overall. You know, if you can get it, helps all business. Of course, the inside, the epicenter of the county and the city of Houston, making sure that these people can get back and forth easier, it makes it better for everybody. You know, living out there, I can tell you, it's not fun having to sit in what should take me 20 minutes when I was working inside the loop. You know, on a Sunday, I could get from my home to my office in 17 minutes, but during the week, it takes me an hour. You know, I think that whatever we can do to help the citizens of the county access every aspect of the county easier and smoother is the job of the commissioners.
What future do you see for commuter rail?
I think for commuter rail, and it's amazing because I travel a lot, and it just always amazes me to see how it's expanded in cities. You know, I grew up in Dallas, and Dallas has got a great commuter rail system. I think for us, it's the point of having to educate our citizens about the advantages of it. You know, we are a car-loving area. And, you know, I have friends that we can get into debates about. I think that commuter rail is a great answer for us. But I do think that there is a huge educational aspect to that.
Okay. The county, like every other entity that has districts or precincts, had to redraw its precinct boundaries. There is some ongoing litigation about that by some minority groups who felt that the way the lines were redrawn did not adequately represent the Latino population in the county. Do you have any opinion on this?
I've looked at how we've redrawn for the county. And so are you asking for just the county?
Just for the county commission precincts.
To me, I've tried to see where the major changes are. I mean, I've looked obviously toward precinct 4. And precinct 4 wasn't highly affected in the neighborhoods that I see. Honestly, I haven't had a chance to get to the right person to see exactly what the reasoning for was for the redrawing. But for four, it doesn't seem like they're for any the neighborhoods that you've that I that, that have been taken out of and some that have been added. It's doesn't seem to have much reason to it, and I'm not the one to say why or how, but I have asked why.
Okay. As you said in the front of this interview, you do have an opponent, someone who is, you know, not really a Democrat. You know, how aware are people of this race, and what are you doing to let them know what the stakes are?
You know, that's what I'm actually, that's what scares me the most, I think, out of this, is that I'm trying to make sure that everyone does know that he's in the race. Some people tell me, oh my gosh, it's Dave Wilson. Not a problem. Okay, well, that's the educated Democrat who knows who this guy is. What I keep telling people when I'm talking to as many Democratic clubs and organizations and groups that I can get in front of, because the problem with this is Dave Wilson, just a couple weeks ago, you know, he was in the news. He's always complaining about, you know, that gay problem. But you get the person who's not as familiar with the names. They walk in and they think, wow, you know, that guy's name sounds familiar. Dave Wilson, I know I've heard it somewhere. So obviously he's important. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. To not assume that just because this is a Republican running in the Democratic primary, or that he's a political obstructionist, an anti-gay activist, that it's going to be that easy for me to win. We can't take that for granted. And we can't take it for granted, because if he does win, he damages the credibility of our ticket in November. So I am trying to get the word out to as many people. And believe me, the Democrats in Precinct 4 are going to be getting a lot of mailers and phone calls to make sure that they know what's going on.
Yeah, you make it past the primary, you're running in a precinct that was drawn to elect a Republican. How do you hope to sell people on the idea of electing a Democrat in that precinct in November?
You know, I think luckily I have some Republicans, diehard Republicans, who know me, know what I stand for, and I'm hoping that them working on the campaign and working on that side, you know, if I can just get them to convince as many of their close-knit Republican friends that I'm the guy that they need. Also, I do think that, you know, it's all about, there's a lot in this about voter turnout. And I think that being a presidential election year, there's a lot of aspects that are going to go into this. So I'm going to really have a big GOTV aspect of the campaign, and there's just going to be a lot of voter contact in this.
Okay. Sean Hammerly, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.